Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, it's been too long since we talked to our next guest, who gives us a great insight into the life of a busy chef and restaurant owner, because so much has been happening since we last talked to him. Industry awards, new recipes, even talk about food fraud going on in the island of Ireland. Who'd have thought it? On the line to tell us more, we have the co-owner and head chef at the award-winning restaurant 1826 at Dare, Wade Murphy. You are very welcome to the show, Wade.
Thanks, Dom. How are you?
No, I'm doing well. I believe congratulations are in order, is that right?
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, we picked up Best Chef and Best Restaurant in Limerick for the third year running. Not too bad for a place that's not three till May. But
wow.
Yeah, so we picked it up, so we go on to the Munster. We won Munster the last 2 years. I don't know if we'll do it again. I don't know if we'll do three in a row. But listen, it's great to just win in Limerick alone. Great for the team.
It must be fantastic for the team to get that kind
absolutely.
Of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it gives you a buzz coming into work, I imagine, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great for the guys, great for everybody. And, you know, everybody... A chef is only as good as his team, or a restaurant are only as good as their team. So, no, it's important that they get the recognition, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, you've served for a number of years in the role of Commissioner General for Eurotoque Ireland, Chefs and Cooks. And you're handing on the baton, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Graham Neville from Restaurant 41 in Residence is taking over. Normally it's a two-year post. It's basically Commissioner General is the head of the Board of Commissioners, really. It's like a presidential kind of position. So Graham has taken over. I did it for 3 years. After my 2 years, I was asked to stay on for one more, so I did. But I'll still be on the Board of Commissioners and still be very heavily involved in your talks as well. But the book won't stop at me anymore, which is kind of a little bit of a relief as well, you know.
Yeah, well, it's lonely at the top. It's lonely at the top. Tell us about the work, you know, of the association, and why is it important for Ireland?
Well, we support artisan, we support local, you know, it's kind of a grouping of chefs or a network of chefs that, you know, we it's all about promoting Irish food and promoting sourcing locally and everything like that. So, yeah, it is very important to the Irish restaurant scene and to the Irish food scene, yeah. And it's been around for, it'll be 30 years this year when Myrtle Allen set it up with Paul Bocuse and a few other famous chefs in Europe. So, yeah, no, it is an important part of the food scene.
Yeah, and there was some, you know, just touching on this for a sec, there was some recent controversy regarding a mushroom grower and supplier being listed on a menu of a restaurant that they never supplied. And
yeah, unfortunately, that happens a bit. You know, I could go on. We could do a whole program on this. You know,
I can imagine.
It does go on. Food fraud, as such, does go on. People saying something is something that it's not. You know, I use that mushroom grower here, so we get his 4 kg of his mushrooms courier to us every week or every 2 weeks. But to me personally, it's just not right. You know, if something, don't say something is something that it's not on your menu. You know, it's same whether it's a supplier or a small producer. You know, at the end of the day, you could be offering an inferior product and saying that it's theirs, and the producer could get a bad name. But it's also for the customer. You know, the customer has the right to know, and it is trying to fool the customer by saying something is something that it's not. So to me, it's not right. Don't say something's organic or wild or whatever if it's not, you know.
Yeah, yeah. To talk about, I mean, that all sounds like, I mean, it's sort of like common sense stuff, but I imagine, as you say, it could be quite damaging, you know, because you want this positive culture as well of supporting suppliers.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. And putting their name on the menu when you're not purchasing their product is not supporting them, you know.
No, indeed. It could be damaging. I mean, speaking of your restaurant again, I mean, you recently had someone finishing up work experience in the restaurant. I mean, when you get someone coming in, how do you know if they're going to be a decent chef? What do you look for?
You just have to look for enthusiasm, eagerness, you know, good work ethic, you know, and stuff like that. It's because, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know whichever way you want to look at it, our job as a chef has been glamorized over the years, and you know, I'm probably guilty of being part of that glamorization myself.
But it's
not an easy job, you know. It's when everybody else is off, that's when you're busy. When your friends are going out, that's when you're in work. You know, it's not an easy job. So, you know, to be the right person, you need to be, you know, you need to be a sponge. You need to take it all in, and you need to be willing to work hard. But you know, it's it's encouraging when you do see a young fella coming through that, you know, guaranteed that you're going to be reading about him in a few years' time. You know, just I loved that. Yeah, we had a young fella in there recently, and he was just brilliant. You know, every few minutes he was, "What do you want me to do next? What do you want me to do next?" Instead of like finding ways of not doing work, he was finding ways of trying to do work, you know, and trying to learn. So, you know, that's.
And is there a kind of like a level of energy that comes from a really good chef that you see come in, someone who's really kind of dancing around the food and really
yeah, there
interest,
is.
Yeah.
You know, there, it can go from one extreme to another. You could have a really quiet guy in the corner that could be busting out stuff left, right, and centre, you know, and stuff like that. Instead of running around being busy is not always necessarily a good thing. You know, you could be doing lots of things but getting nothing finished.
Yeah, not doing your dishes or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to looking at the food for a sec. One of your dishes on special involves a 3-hour slow roasted chicken.
Yeah, I use a pasture reared chicken from a farmer in Athenry. So, you know, but yeah, it's just one that I put on every couple of weeks. We do a roast every Sunday, you know. So we do the roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, homemade horseradish, and the full Monty. And so I just wanted to put on the chicken. So we brine them overnight in like a 6% salt and water solution.
Yeah.
And then did them very, very slowly at 95 degrees for about 2.5 hours to 2 hours 40 minutes, and then cranked it right up for the last 20 minutes, half an hour, just to crisp up the skin. So it was good. It went well, and people seemed to enjoy it, and the brining and everything kept the chicken really moist.
Well, it's making me drool, I can tell you. Speaking of ingredients, I see you're using, this is something I find really fascinating, Connemara air-dried ham. I mean, I have this vision of this kind of air-dried ham hanging from a
cottage somewhere in the middle of Connemara.
Well, no. I was going to say hanging from a hook in Spain. You know, these animals fed on truffles and all this kind of thing.
No, this is there's a butcher in Uachtaráin in Galway called McGill's Butchers, a family butchers. They've been there for a long time, and I worked up that side of the country when I first came back from the States. So I used to use them an awful lot, but they do their own air-dried meats, which is an Irish version of your European parmas and prosciuttos. And so they do like a really stunning air-dried ham. They do an air-dried lamb, which is really smoky and like that. And they do like an air-dried beef, which is like an Irish brazola. So actually all of their meats were sent to every Irish embassy in the world for St. Patrick's Day. It's a fantastic product. I love it, and I used it for long enough, and I just didn't have it on with any dish recently, so I put it back on. But yeah, they're a great product, and if you see them or you're passing through Uachtaráin, make sure you go to McGill's and try a packet just to have, like, to, you know. We can do cheeses, we can do cured meats as good as the best of them, you know.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's inspiring to hear that. You know, it's good, you know, fantastic, you know, local butchers, local suppliers. Listen, before I let you go, I know you're a football fan. I know you're a Liverpool fan. What do you think of Liverpool's performance in Europe so far?
How can you go from beating Manchester United to then being 2-0 up against Southampton and losing 3-2?
My brother is a diehard Liverpool. I'm a sort of passive. I'm sorry to say this to you on air. I'm a passive Liverpool fan.
Oh, that's okay.
My brother is a diehard Liverpool fan. He was very glum that day.
Yeah. What can you do? That's why you're a fan. You take the ups and the downs, you know. But it'll be interesting now, the next round of Europe. It's going to be extremely tough. Dortmund are a great team, but I can't imagine there's going to be a better atmosphere in that tournament with Klopp going back to Dortmund and, you know, two groups of fanatical, well-loved fans, you know, home and away. I think it'll be, as Klopp said himself, the whole world will be watching. So hopefully Liverpool can come out on top over the two legs. Great that the first leg is away, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed for that. Well, Chef Wayne Murphy from Restaurant AG26 Adair, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure as always. Thanks, Dobby.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.